The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. I want to call your attention to a couple of lines from the hymn that we just sang. It's a hymn of the day. It's a hymn that details the story of Cleopas and the other disciple and their encounter with Jesus, who appeared to them unknown. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him, but they at last knew him in the breaking of the bread. In verse 3 of "Who Are You Who Walk in Sorrow," we hear that Christ is the one who has opened our hearts in the breaking of the bread. He is the victim who bore God's wrath for the sin of the world on the cross. And he is also the victor because, as we confess in the creed, as the scriptures make plain, he is risen bodily. The very body that was crucified, that suffered so much torment, that was wounded so grievously, is a body that carried the sins of the world on the cross, the body that was placed in the grave, the body that was raised up in glory on the third day. The third stanza continues, "Great companion on our journey, if Christ were not alive, he could not be our companion on any journey. Still surprise us with your grace." Grace is a surprising, amazing thing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Grace is entirely undeserved, unmerited, unexpected. You expect the worst. You expect God's wrath. You expect God's condemnation, because you know that you are a sinner and there is no health and life and wholeness or holiness in you. But instead of condemning you, in Christ, in his death, through his resurrection, through your baptism, through the very gospel you are hearing proclaimed this day, God extends to you his grace, his mercy. He shows you that at heart, in Christ, he is not a wrathful, vengeful God, but a God of love, a God of mercy, a God who extends his peace to poor, miserable sinners, who ends the warfare between himself and the world by Christ's death and resurrection, and who declares his peace to you. So going on, we sing in this hymn, we pray in this hymn that this Lord, this merciful God, would make each day for us a new Emmaus, a new encounter with Christ, and we shall look at the contents of that encounter in just a little while. And that through the gospel, through this encounter with Christ, he would trace his image upon our hearts. Stanza 4, we have a description of the Holy Christian Church. "Who are we who travel with you on our way through life to death? We are the redeemed of Christ. We are those baptized into Jesus. We are the ones who have the name of the Holy Trinity inscribed upon us, marking us as God's own dear beloved possession, marking us as adopted members of his household, the Holy Church. Who are we? We're women. We're men. We're the young. We're the aging. We're those who have been wakened by the Spirit's breath, the Holy Spirit who came upon us in our baptism, the Holy Spirit who is present in the word proclaimed, to open your ears and to enter your mind and awaken your understanding and awaken your faith so that you can believe in Christ Jesus as your Savior, as the one who has taken away all of your sins. You know how when you sweep a floor, a kitchen floor, or vacuum it, you get up the dust, you get up the little bits of leaves or grass or whatever there is on that floor, but then you go over it with a mop, and you see that there is other debris, other dirt there that you did not clean up in that first attempt. Well, it's not that way with Jesus. Jesus died on the cross once for all, the final sacrifice for sin. When Jesus takes away sin, it is gone. And again, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You are baptized into Christ. Christ has carried your sin. And yes, though you and I may sin, God does not bear the penalty of that sin against us. He does not strike us down in his wrath. That's all been taken care of in Jesus. So God the Father sees each one of you who believe, who are in Christ, as being as holy and righteous and innocent and pure as his own son was. Because Jesus, the holy, righteous, innocent, and pure one, became sin for you on the cross, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. At the font, you were claimed and named as God's own. You were born of water and the Word. And at the holy table, at this altar, the risen Christ, who was slain from the foundation of the world, feeds you and is your host as your risen Lord. Make each day for us a new Emmaus. Well, we heard about the old Emmaus. We heard about the two disciples who were still grieving Jesus' death. They didn't know exactly what had happened. They were talking about all these things when Jesus met them. Jesus, whom they were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus kind of plays dumb, you could say. Not that he is dumb. He is the all-knowing God in the flesh. But he wants to hear what they have to say. He wants to understand where they are. And he wants to bring them to a new understanding and a new faith, and a true faith indeed in who he is and what he came to do. So he asked them, "Why are you looking so sad as you're walking along?" And Cleopas says, "Well, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem this weekend who doesn't know what's happened here the last several days?" Jesus says, "What things have happened?" And they tell him, "Well, things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word." Not quite the answer. How about God the Son, Son of God, very God of very God? See, their understanding was not fully developed. A prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. Came to an end there, crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel, and apparently we were wrong. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things have happened, and something confusing has happened. Women of our company amazed us. Women, don't ever let anyone tell you you aren't amazing. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Now let me ask you, which would you rather see? A vision of angels to say, Jesus is alive? Or would you rather receive Jesus himself, the crucified and risen one, who speaks to you in his word, who washed you of all of your sin and gave you life in holy baptism, who is present for you, proclaiming his forgiveness to you in the preaching of the gospel, who absolves your sins as the pastor of the church pronounces absolution, and who is present for you in a tangible way in the bread and the wine, in which, by the power of his word, he gives you his body and blood. You know, the vision of angels doesn't count for much. What counts is the encounter with Christ, which these two disciples were having on the road to Emmaus, but they really didn't recognize it yet. The disciples thought that the women were hysterical and foolish when they came and said they'd seen angels, and Mary said she had seen Jesus. They raced off to the tomb just to verify it. And sure, Jesus' body was gone, but women, you know. At that time, women were not allowed to be witnesses in a court of law because their testimony was considered unreliable. So when Jesus says to the two disciples, "Oh, foolish ones," there's irony there. He's saying, it's not the women who are foolish. They believe. It's you who don't understand who are foolish, who lack wisdom when it comes to the things of God. You're slow of heart to believe everything that the prophets have spoken about me. Didn't you know that it was necessary? It was God's plan. It must happen that the Christ should suffer all these things you have described and enter into his glory, and then in a service of the word, which we're in right now in our divine service, Jesus begins with Moses and all the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures, and he interprets to them in the scriptures everything concerning himself. The two disciples were concerned about Jesus of Nazareth, the things that had happened to him. But their understanding was woefully inadequate. It took Christ himself speaking the word to put these things into proper focus, to properly interpret them. And the two disciples are impressed with all this. So as they draw near to the village where they are going, Jesus acted like he was going on. And notice they still didn't recognize him. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us," or "abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent, and we would like to hear some more about this." They've had the service of the word, where Christ has taught them, but then they move on into the service of the sacrament, you could say. So Jesus goes in to stay with them, and then he who is a guest takes the place of the host. He's at table with them. He takes bread. Notice the verbs. He blesses the bread. Notice the verbs. He breaks the bread. Notice the verbs. And he gives the bread to them. On the night our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, or when he had blessed the bread, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. It's kind of like a celebration of the Lord's Supper going on here. But you'll notice that there is no cup, there is no blood. Well, the ongoing feast begun there at Emmaus continues in the church today. As the church gathers for worship, as the church gathers to receive the saving gifts of God, as the church gathers to hear Christ's death and resurrection proclaimed, as the church gathers to do all that her Lord commanded her, make disciples by baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe all things that He has commanded us. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. Today, as the word is proclaimed, today, as you are hearing the good news of Christ crucified for you, today, as you receive the gift of His body and blood, properly administered, we're doing the things Christ commanded His church to do. Word and sacrament. And we're continuing that long unbroken supper that began at Emmaus and will finally be fulfilled at the great wedding banquet of the Lamb. Alleluia. Their eyes were opened. They recognized Jesus and poof, He's gone. Gee, that's disappointing. No, it's not. Because they are taught to walk by faith. They are taught by Jesus' vanishing, not to look for a vision of angels, not to look for special revelations, not to look for astounding signs and miracles, although God does those whenever He so chooses, but to look for Christ where He is made known in the preaching of the word and in the breaking of the bread. So I say to you, dear friends, today is your Emmaus. Emmaus was not back then. Emmaus is here. Emmaus is now, no matter how old or how young you are. For where Christ is, in the proclamation of His word, in the preaching of the gospel, in the forgiveness of sins, and in the celebration of His Holy Supper for the forgiveness of our sins, right there is Emmaus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.